Today on Castle Country Focus, I have with me Dennis Warwood, who is the extension agent for USU University in Emory County. Dennis has been with the Extension Service for some 35 years. Apparently nobody else will hire him, I don't know. But we're glad he's joining with us today. Thank you, Dennis.
Hi, it's good to be here, Dylan.
And I'm just kidding about the job, okay? I mean, you know.
You might be right, you know.
With spring coming on and trees are getting leaves, what should we be doing with our fruit trees right now?
Well, that's a good question, and a lot of people are wondering about that at this time of year. And most people are concerned about pest control, and USU has an excellent resource to help people with pest problems. And so if they go online and search for USU plant pest, it will take them to the website for the USU plant pest lab, and those pests would be mostly insects and diseases, and they cover all types of plant and even household pests. If you had ants on your counter, your kitchen counter, then they would tell you how to deal with them as well. But one really nice feature of this website is that you can sign up for free advisory, and you can choose different categories. So there's one for fruit trees, there's one for vegetables, there's one for turf, there's one for other types of ornamentals, etc. And by signing up for that, what will happen then is you will get an email every week from the lab up there saying it's time to say spray your apples for worms, or it's time to look out for woolly apple aphids, or peach tree borer, whatever. So it's really a nice service, and it's all based on current conditions. So, for example, they've got traps out throughout the state to monitor for the toddling moth, which is the adult of the worms that get in our apple. And they use that catch data and temperatures from each locale, so like from Price or from Santa Clara, from wherever they happen to be, they will take some temperatures for each site and the trap data and use that with some insect growth models and predict when we need to spray certain things. And it's the same for some other insects as well. So it's really accurate, and it'll give you a heads up on what to do. Plus, the website has a ton of fact sheets with information on what do I need to spray, or what are my options, are there organic options, etc. And they also have some video fact sheets, so you can, for example, if you've had earwigs, they've got a nice video that shows you how to make an earwig trap out of an old cottage cheese container that can catch all the earwigs you want. So that's a great resource for all gardeners, and especially for fruit people who are concerned about pest control.
Do I want to catch earwigs instead of just smashing them?
Well, what you do is actually you catch them and they drown. You bait these traps with a little bit of oil, like Crisco or whatever, some cooking oil, and then you put a little bit of scent in it, usually the juice out of a tuna fish can, and they go looking for a meal and fall in and drown. They have another homemade trap that's made for wasps. If you bait that with a little bit of fruit juice, orange juice, grape juice, or whatever, and it's made out of an old 2-liter pop bottle, same deal, they fall in and drown.
Okay. Just to remind everybody, you're listening to Castle Country Focus, and we are talking with Dennis Warwood. Now, container gardening seems to be a coming thing. A lot of people I know are using these raised gardens and stuff. How can you help us in container gardening?
Container gardening is popular, especially as a lot of us are getting older, like I am, and we don't have as many mouths to feed. We maybe don't need the huge garden that we used to have. And plus, sometimes, especially the spring like we've had, it's nice to have a garden that I could actually pick up and move inside the garage on one of these frosty nights and not have to worry about the tomato freezing. So there are some resources on the USU Extension website for container gardening. But we've also done some classes, and there's going to be one coming up on Friday, May 12th in Castledale, where we're going to do what's called a salsa garden, which is basically a container garden in a 5-gallon bucket, and we'll help them grow the ingredients they need to make salsa. So there'll be a tomato, there'll be a hot pepper, there'll be a couple of onions in there, and we'll talk about the care of that. So with any container, there are some advantages if you start with, usually you're going to start with some kind of a potted soil, and that eliminates a lot of your weed issues, because most of those shouldn't have weeds in them. Plus, it is portable, you can move it, which is sometimes helpful, as I mentioned. The main thing with the container is you need to think about how big the root zone is, and realize that maybe I'm going to need to water this differently than I did as the huge garden that we used to have out back. So the smaller the container, the less room there is for the roots, and the more often I'm going to need to replenish the moisture. Plus, I may need to add fertilizer periodically. Won't have that in them.
One final thing in the last minute or so. I've been seeing some articles on Africanized bees. What do I need to know, and what precautions should I take?
Well, real quickly, the Africanized bees have been found in Huntington and Green River, and they're probably in other areas of the country. They've been in Utah for some years, probably at least 9 or 10 years, and they're gradually moving north. They are identical to regular honeybees. They're actually the same species, just a different strain. The big thing to remember is that they're going to be more aggressive defending their hive or colony. So if you get around beehives, or if you run into a wild bee colony in a tree or in the wall of a home or something, you need to just probably call a beekeeper if you've got a wild colony, and then just don't mess with them, because that's where people get in trouble with the Africanized bees, is they're usually, the bees are trying to defend their colony, and they're much more aggressive when doing that than the bees we're used to.
Now, if I don't know a local beekeeper, can I call you, or what should I do that way?
I would discourage people from trying to spray them themselves, even with some of the products that the maids kill wasps, for example, just because the bees may come out faster than you can kill them, and they'll be quite aggressive if they have to be Africanized. They can call the Extension Office or the Utah Department of Agriculture, which the Department of Ag has an office in Price, and either of us could provide names to beekeepers. Or the other option would be, if it was a wild colony and you wanted to get rid of it, you might call a pest control professional.
Well, as always, Dennis, you're a fountain of knowledge. No, it's knowledge, Dennis. I promise you that.
Okay.
It's good stuff. Thank you for joining with us on Castle Country Focus.
Thanks for having me.